Just 1 week ago, Sunday afternoon, I stood in my front yard feeling incredibly sad. I was very concerned about a little tree that I had planted the previous May, almost a year ago now. And this tree was planted as a memorial to my best friend who died, and I planted it with her son on her death anniversary. And on Sunday afternoon, I stood there and thought, oh no, it's not going to make it. All those dry days that we had in the fall must have not let its roots really do what they needed to do. I felt so sad about it. It's a beautiful little tree. I picked it in early May last year when its beautiful red bud leaves, it's a heart of gold red bud. Heart of gold. How perfect to remember my dear friend. And its beautiful leaves were such an interesting color, and I was so excited to see it come back. I stood out there quite sad about it, convinced that it was no more filled with life than all the limbs, the dead limbs I was picking up from all over the grass so that we could mow again. That's why I was out there in the first place in the front yard. It looked like just a dead limb stuck into a donut of mulch. It looked totally lifeless and dead. Then a few days later, when I finally got to mowing and I made my way out and around near that tree, a bright, sort of ridiculously bright pink color startled me. There is just nothing like the color of those red bud buds, is there? I mean, it is such kind of a garish, bright pink. And I thought I was seeing things. So I got off the mower and I went to look at it. Sure enough, this tree that I had so fretted over was coming back to life. At the end were little buds, and you could see these little sort of paisley-shaped ends of each twig that were about to unfurl into leaves. It was filled with life. I stood there thinking it was dead on Sunday, and just a few days later realized that while I was sad and standing there mourning the loss of this tree, its roots were busy pumping water and minerals out to its periphery so that it could once again delight us and return to life. And now those leaves will unfurl, and they will, by the mystery of God, transfer sunshine into food for that very tree. Now, if that tree had died, it wouldn't have changed a 40-plus year friendship, would it? Not one bit at all. I would have felt sad about the tree. It's a symbol. It's a reminder. It's not the friendship itself. I would have been very sad, though. It didn't die. It is coming back to life and continues to be a beautiful symbol for a beautiful relationship. So much of the life of faith, of our ongoing, lifelong effort to experience life with that indescribable being that we call God, so much of that experience eludes our ability to give it any expression. So much so that we rely on all sorts of symbols to give some shape to our own experience of faith and the ideas that we are developing about God and what God is doing. This space is filled with symbols. They are from the new lilies for Easter to various crosses, the Paschal candle. There are symbols on the vestments, there are symbols on the pews. Everywhere we look, there are beautiful symbols reminding us of different aspects of our faith journey. The two symbols really at the heart of Christian experience in our tradition are baptism and Eucharist. And we call them sacraments. They're such important symbols. These are the two main sacraments in our faith, baptism and Eucharist. They are set apart from all other actions in order to be for us an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. They are externalized signs of what's already true on the inside. Baptism is a washing of a person in God's love. Just as new parents wash a new little human they've brought into their home, they wash that new child carefully and lovingly, so we are washed lovingly by God and the community of God and brought into community. Not all of us were children at our baptism. We might have a few here who were baptized at an older age. Typically in our tradition, a baptism happens one time. We aren't constantly rebaptized. It happens once in our tradition. Whereas Eucharist happens over and over and over and over again, constantly feeding us on the presence of Christ. When we gather for Holy Eucharist, we are gathering around a sacrament that says, God and God's own divine wisdom came to live among us and be present among us and broke bread among us a lot. And so we break bread a lot together in the Eucharist. The Eucharistic meal, Eucharist meaning Thanksgiving, is a meal in which we express our deep gratitude to God. And we are also expressing the love that is already in us, that is being nourished at the meal. And we grow it by eating it so that it can reach out to those far-flung twigs of our lives and start to leaf out and take in more nutrient to grow us in new ways. The meal nourishes parts of us that nourish us back again. I want to share with you something this Easter, and I hope you will hear this very clearly. I want to share what I believe is deep good news as I know it in Christ in this very moment. And that is this. You already are a sacrament. God has called you to live your life as a sacrament, as an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. You already have the gift of a sacramental life. You are indeed a sacrament. How I have seen this most fully has been unfolding, kind of like those leaves unfurling over time. I have watched that life unfurl in this place as you sacramentally offered, as you sacramentally offered a 3-bedroom house on your property to be another sacrament. Sacramentally, you stepped out in faith and said, inwardly, we have this grace to share. We have this spiritual grace to share. We believe God loves all of humanity. And then you did this action. You opened up a house to house someone, a family that had no home in this country. That is a sacramental act. That is baptism and Eucharist. That is an outward and visible sign of the love of Christ coming out of you and then reaching out to the periphery of humanity. Little did we know when we began a partnership in September that we would welcome people we had never met, who did not know where Mount Airy, Maryland, maybe even Maryland, was on a map, from halfway around the world into a home on this property. That act is a sacrament. You have brought all of the growth that has happened in your own life's journey. You have brought all of the love and grace in your own hearts from your own experience as a beloved child of God into a place of relationship, not only with one another, which is highly enjoyable to be in relationship with one another. You have also offered it outside of these doors to strangers who have become neighbors. You have been fed by Eucharist, washed by the love of God in baptism, nourished by relationships in this place, so that you could walk out of these doors and live sacramental lives, lives that opened in symbolic and real love for others, lives that became outward and visible signs of an inward and spiritual grace. The world is so hungry. The world is so hungry right now to see and know the love and life of Christ. The world is hungry to understand how to live well with God and with one another so that all may flourish. You are a living sacrament that is showing others in the world how to do that growth, how to do that loving, how to open the doors to others. The world longs to know that what appears dead and lifeless may simply be in the process of becoming. It might be doing some sort of hidden growth that we can't understand with our own eyes. It takes the eyes of God to see what is becoming. In Jesus, we are reminded that the nature of God is to love and to heal, to bring about life. Through Jesus, our lives serve to remind one another of that love above all else. Love that is so powerful that it breaks forth from the tomb. Love that is so tender that it turns to a friend and asks, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And then calls each one of us by our name so that we can turn towards that beautiful sound of such love, believe in it, and carry it out to others, as did Mary Magdalene on that very first Easter morning. Amen. Amen.